Reading will be taken from Matthew 16, 24 through 27. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone wishes to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life shall lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake shall find it. For what will a man be profited if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man is going to come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and will then recompense every man according to his deeds."
Well, we want to welcome each one of you here today who is new. This is a great occasion. It is every year. It is every Lord's Day, but I have butterflies in my stomach every first day that you all are back home here. And it's no different today. We're glad that you're here. Now look out and see those of you that have been here before. Then we see a lot of you that haven't been. And we're so glad that you're here with us. I believe that this congregation has a good time being Christians, and we're happy to have you in our midst to enjoy this Christian life with us. We welcome you to the community, and I don't mean just to Searcy. We welcome you to this community here, of which we're all a part in this academic community. We welcome you to this church. This is a good church. It's made up of just simply simple people. There's not anybody here that's any big moving star. We're all just plain folks. Most of them poor folks, but they're the Lord's folks. We welcome you to that community, to this church. You know, we've been preparing for you all summer. We've been getting ourselves ready for our ministry that we believe is ours with you. We've talked about the Lord and His honor and His glory. We've talked about His lordship. We've studied His ministry, what He did. We've studied out of Matthew, the 6th chapter, on our ministry, trying to lay aside all the excess baggage that sometimes we accumulate in our pilgrimage. And so we're here today as a congregation of people ready to talk about the lordship of Jesus Christ, and ready to offer ourselves, preaching Him as Lord and offering ourselves to you as your servants for His name's sake. And we've been getting ready for this all this summer, 3 months of it, just getting ready for you to come back. So we're glad you're here. What beautiful singing that was. Oh, there's an announcement we need to make Friday night now. Did you announce about Friday night in the meeting here? You didn't. All right, Friday night, what time is it supposed to be? Bill, where are you? Friday night at 7:30. Maybe we'll make more announcement about it tonight at the services tonight. Friday night, we're going to meet here, all who'd like to canvass the city of Searcy for our meeting. And then Saturday, we're going to be working in the community to do this canvassing. And we want every one of you that possibly can to be with us in this shotgun effort this coming Friday night in preparation for it. And then Saturday during the day. It'll take about a couple of hours on Saturday, and we'll have this whole city canvassed if we can get enough help. We welcome you to the adult world of decisions. Now, those of you who are old hands at being away from home and college students, you understand what I mean. But to those of you who are new, who are freshmen, who are here for the first time away from home, we welcome you to the adult world of decisions. You know, at home, you had most of your decisions made for you. Here, you're going to have to make a lot of decisions on your own. We talk about this just about every year from one angle or another, but you're going to have to make some decisions that you've not ever made before, and it's going to be interesting. One of the decisions, I think, that illustrates this whole life of decision is your cafeteria line. You'll have to make some decisions. I don't like to go to a cafeteria because it takes too many decisions, and I just like for somebody to put it in front of me and say, eat it. But you're going to have to walk through this new experience in life represented by the cafeteria line, and you say, I want one of those and three of these and a half of one of that one, and you know, you go through there and you make all these choices from several alternatives. But there's one thing about them: at the end of this line of decisions, you know what happens? You pay for it. You have to pay for it. Now, that's not anything profound, but you're going to be experiencing that all this year. Every time you go through the cafeteria line, make those choices, then you come to the cashier and you pay for it. There's a Spanish proverb that says something along this line, and it applies it to the whole of life itself. The proverb says, take what you want, says God, take it and pay for it. And it applies it to every single thing in your entire life. And it just simply says that at the very center of every responsible life, there is an area of personal selection that you and I have to make from a series or from a host of alternatives. And in this area of your selectivity, God is saying to you, take what you want, take it and pay for it. Now, Jesus endorsed this principle, though it doesn't expand or it doesn't include all of the gospel message. There are some other ramifications and some other implications and other facets. But is regarding this principle, Jesus says that's right. In Matthew, the 13th chapter, verses 45 and 46, Jesus told about the man that was looking for a prize pearl. He was out looking for goodly pearls. And he came across this prize pearl. Man, it was the most beautiful one he'd ever seen. This man went back to his collection, divested himself of everything that he had bought before, put it on the market, sold all of that in order to get this one beautiful pearl. Yes, it costs. In Matthew, the 13th chapter, verse 44, just before that passage about the pearl, he talked about the man that went into the field and was plowing, and his plow struck a hard object, and he went back and uncovered it, and come to find out he had dug up a treasure. Well, hurriedly, he covered that thing up and went to the real estate office, bought that field, sold everything that he had to buy that field. Now, what Jesus is saying in those two simple parables is that if you buy that which is the highest and the best and the noblest and the of all the things in the world, it's going to cost you. You're going to have to get rid of some things. It'll cause you to have to sacrifice some things if you're going to get what's good. But in Matthew, the 5th chapter, in verse 26, Jesus talks about a man there who went foul of the law, who went against one of his neighbors who did something wrong against him, and the man caught him and grabbed him and was taking him on the way to the judge. And Jesus said, you'd better settle that thing out of court, lest the judge commit you to the officer and the officer take you to the prison and you be put in the prison. And he said, you're not going to get out until you've paid the very last penny. Yes, he endorses the principle, take what you want and pay for it. That at that area of our life where there is this selection from alternatives, if you choose that which is good, you're going to have to pay for it. On the other hand, if you choose that which is evil and low and base, you're going to have to pay for that too. Now, I want us to look at it this morning because it's so important. I want us to trace it out really just one direction today, maybe a second. But tonight, I want us to finish it. And it's so important that you get this lesson at this point in your life, at the beginning of this school year. Are you with me now? That's the real reason why I want to bring this message to you today, because it's so appropriate. If you can get this one point today, man, you'll have the world on a string, on a downhill drag for the whole year if you can just get this one principle. Look for just a moment, though, how lopsided is our concept of what we consider sacrifice or sacrificial living. You know, when we think about sacrificial living, we think of it only in terms of godliness. We would put in quotations this statement and say, that's true. Godliness is the only sacrificial life that there is. And when our mothers and daddies tried in the years past to get us to do what was right, when they would say no to some of the things we wanted to do, and they would say, you ought to do this, and you've got to do this, and they'd tell us all these things that we had to do and some of the things that we could not do, you know our only reaction was this? Boy, all the things we're being deprived of. Everybody else is getting to do this, and I'm not getting to do anything. And we look at self-sacrifice only in terms of godliness. Whenever a preacher stands up in a pulpit to preach on sacrificial living, you know what we think about? Here it comes. He's going to talk to us about godliness, sacrificial living. Well, didn't Jesus say, and in the text, did he not just say that if any man would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me? That's right. And I want you to know today, without any equivocation, without any question, it does cost if you're going to serve Jesus Christ. It does cost if you're going to choose the best in life. You're going to pay for it. It's going to cost some self-sacrifice. But that's only half of what Jesus said in that text. Jesus talked about how that kind of a life costs money. But he also said that the other side also costs money. Jesus there in verses 24 and 25 makes the statement, what will a man profit if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his life or his soul? So actually what Jesus is saying to us is that there are two choices to be made. Both of them cost. You can either choose to serve that which is good and noble and right. You can choose to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, and that's going to cost you. If any man would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. He that would love his life will lose it. He that would lose his life will save it or find it. But then he said, what will a man be profited if he gain the whole world and lose his soul? So he's talking about a choice that was made there, what you would call a choice. At least he says, what are you going to profit if you should gain the entire world and lose your soul? So what he's saying is that you're going to pay for what you get. What he's saying is simply this: take what you want and pay for it. Now, are you prepared to do that this year or not? You're going to have to do it. You don't have any real choice other than that. Jesus Christ was simply saying that everything that we choose, whether it's good or bad, costs you. If a person chooses a loose, ribald kind of licentious life or dissipation, you're going to pay for it. But you know, many times we look at a person who's out here just living it up. Man, he spends everything he wants. He has all the money he can just possibly lay his hands on. He buys anything he wants. He lives the most loose, sexual, dissipated life. He just lives like that. And we look at that and say, boy, that's really self-indulgence. Self-indulgence. Look again. When we talk about self-indulgence, many times we talk of it simply in terms of really living. That's really living. But Paul told Timothy that anybody who is self-indulgent is dead while he lives or while she lives. Jesus Christ, talking about the prodigal son, talks about the prodigal, the wasteful one. The word prodigal isn't used in there, and yet it is too, and it talks about him wasting his substance. We talk about the boy that went down into the far country of sin, and he just did everything that his heart desired, and it says that he wasted his substance, not that he got the most good out of it. Jesus says this man wasted his substance. Such living as that is wasteful. It's wasteful at the highest level. It's sacrificial at the highest level. A person sacrificing all that's good and best and enduring and endearing in his own life, sacrificing all of that for just a moment's fling. Yeah, that's sacrificial living at the highest level. It's trading diamonds for dust. You've got a choice. This year, you can either trade dust for diamonds or you can trade diamonds for dust. What are you going to do? I maintain today that you need to answer this question. Take what you want and pay for it, and are you willing to make that choice today? Are you? People always have made that choice. People have always really taken what they wanted and they've paid for it. From the days that Adam and Eve took what they wanted and they paid for it, God had said to them, don't touch this, because the day that you touch it or eat it, you're going to die. And they took what they wanted and they paid for it. Moses lived a sacrificial life, choosing rather to suffer ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Moses did live a sacrificial life, but so did Esau. Esau traded his birthright for a mess of meat. Moses lived a sacrificial life, but so did Achan. Achan, when they came into the land of Canaan and as they approached the city of Jericho, Achan lived a sacrificial life. Achan traded his wife, his children, his possessions, his own life. Achan traded all of that for what? A gold wedge, some pocket change, and a Babylonian sport coat. Those three things. Sacrificial at the highest level. How in the name of common sense could someone look at that kind of a life and say, boy, that's self-indulgent? That's not self-indulgent. That's self-sacrificial to the point of being absurd. George Washington lived a sacrificial life. As he fought to preserve the colonies and all, as he fought in those great battles, George Washington lived a sacrificial life, going without clothing, going without food, going without the necessities even of life. He lived a sacrificial life. But so did Benedict Arnold. You think about it. Benedict Arnold lived a sacrificial life too. Benedict Arnold sacrificed himself in the sense that he threw away his heritage, and we know him today as a man who is a traitor. Jesus lived a sacrificial life, pouring himself out, as the brother read this morning in the passage before the supper, pouring himself out, becoming a servant so that he might give himself for other people as a ransom, coming to be in the form of man so that he might simply serve people and give himself upon the cross. That was a sacrificial life. But not only did Jesus live a sacrificial life, Judas did too. Judas lived a sacrificial life. He sacrificed the greatest opportunity that any man ever had at any time in history. Judas threw all that away for just 30 stinking pieces of money and a memory that was going to rot and haunt him for the rest of eternity. You're talking about sacrificial living. That's sacrificial living at its highest point. And I'll tell you what, you're going to make a sacrificial choice this year too. Everybody has always sacrificed for what they wanted. They've always taken what they wanted and they've paid for it. And you're going to do the same thing this year. There's not any way you can get around it. This is part of the formula of life. You're going to make that decision. You're going to choose this year between purity and impurity. That's right. And you'll pay for whatever you choose. You're going to choose between good grades and bad grades, and you'll pay for it. You're going to choose between honesty and cheating. And it just depends on whichever you choose, you're going to pay for. You're going to choose between honor and dishonor. You're going to choose between so many things that you have confronting you now, and I maintain that you're going to pay for every last thing that you choose, whether it be good or bad, you're going to pay for it. Are you prepared to make that decision? We need to stop being fooled by the false idea that we can choose between self-sacrifice and self-indulgence. That's stupid. That's one of the devil's lies. We don't have the choice between self-indulgence and self-sacrifice. All you've got, young people, is all I've got. All any of us has is simply the choice between two kinds of self-sacrifice. You can either choose to trade diamonds for dust, or you can choose to trade dust for diamonds. But there are two kinds of sacrificial living. Which you're going to choose this year? In Ecclesiastes, the 12th chapter, in verse 9, Solomon makes this statement: young man, walk in the ways of your heart and in the sight of your eyes, but know that for all these things, God will bring you into judgment. He's simply saying, take your pick. Choose what you want. But you're going to pay for it. So I say to you this morning, choose what you want. Take your pick. And pay for it. There are those of you probably in the audience that think this, though. I haven't chosen what I've gotten in life. I didn't make the choice. I didn't choose what I got out of life. I've gotten a raw deal. Life has dealt me a hand that I don't want. It may be that you've come here with a crippling handicap. It may be that you've come here out of a broken home. You may come here as a divorcee. You may come here as a widow or a widower. You may come here having been deprived of things in your past life that would have set you up and prepared you for this hour. You may be here today in going into this school on campus. You may be here against your wishes.
Daddy just said, come.
And you may be sitting here right now, having inherited something. You say, I didn't choose this. If it were my choice, I wouldn't be here. Well, all right. But the choice is still yours. The power to choose is still yours, and it's in this respect. What are you going to do with that life has dealt you? What are you going to do with it? You can choose. You can be critical, cynical, soured, withdrawn, rebellious. You've got the choice. Or you can rise above what life has dealt to you, and you can be cooperative, you can be wise, you can be inventive, you can be good-humored, you can do all these things and come out on top. But the choice is yours. You better make your choice. Receiving from life things that you did not select reminds me of when I was in Lipscomb. We went through our cafeteria line, and I remember the beans, the green beans especially. Sometimes we had meat with them, sometimes we didn't. The disturbing things about the meat was that it wasn't ham. About half the time, there would be a great big old grub worm. Yeah. He looked so much like the beans that the people that served it didn't know what they were serving. He looked so much like the beans that you didn't even know it when you were getting it. Only when you went to stick your fork in did you see his 49 legs, you know, sitting there going at you. I lost 400 pounds that year. Because every time I'd go over there to eat, I'd lose it. Not really. But I got some things I didn't order. Well, what are you going to do with it? Well, you can pick them out and throw them away and go ahead and eat what's good. Or you can throw the whole thing out, grub, worm, and all. Now, that choice kind of is yours today. You may be here without having made a decision about some things. You inherited it. It wasn't your choice. And you're going to have to decide what to do about it. But the power of choice is yours. Young people, let me tell you something. Life is real, and you're entering into a life of real decisions that you're going to make. And when I look at some of you today, look at all of you, and I think that you're in the process of making this choice. Take what you want and pay for it. You can either choose the high and the noble and the good. You can either change and trade the low for the high, or you can trade and change the high for the low. You can either trade diamonds for dust or dust for diamonds. But regardless of what you choose, regardless of what you pick, you're going to have to pay for it. I want to urge you today, think seriously before you choose. Think seriously before you make the choice between honor and dishonor. Think seriously before you make the choice between honesty and cheating, dishonesty. Think seriously before you make the choice this year between purity and impurity. Think very seriously before you choose between Jesus Christ and mammon, Satan. For what will it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What will you give in exchange for your life? Take what you want and pay for it. And the decision's yours. And I could not let this first Lord's Day morning go by without pointing out as clearly as I know how. The gist of it is simply this, that there's a decision to be made right now by every last one of us. And whether you choose the good or the bad, the noble or the ignoble, we're going to pay for it. Now, there may be someone here this morning that wants to make that decision. Now, you know, why go any farther? We're here. We've got a clean slate. The elders of this congregation don't know how you've been living. The officials here on campus, they don't know your record. Your friends, they don't know how you talk. The people you date, they don't know how you conduct yourself on a date. Wouldn't it be good to just simply now, right where you are, or if you want to come forward and make a statement, I'm going to make my choice now. I'm going to choose to pay dust for diamonds. I'm not going to sell my diamonds and buy dust with it. Wouldn't that be fantastic if all of us here right now would make that choice and say, I want to take my stand right now. I want to sanctify in my heart Christ as Lord, and I want to make that decision right now. If you need to respond in faith, penitent for your sins, and be immersed in water to begin this kind of a life, we extend that invitation to you. But for one like that, there's probably 100 here of the rest of us who simply need to take a very close inventory of where we're going and what we want. And I pray that you'll choose that that's good. May God bless you. Will you come while we stand and sing?
Heart, the soul.